You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Mark, are you a financial advisor?
No, I'm a newsletter publisher. I don't provide financial advice, nor am I a registered advisor. I used to be years ago, but just doing our educational VR Trader publication.
How would you describe what's happening on the stock markets right now?
Well, overall, it's following a pattern that we outlined earlier in the year. Those who subscribe to my annual forecast model get a good sense of what's happening because it covers, you know, many markets, not just the major averages. But the bottom line, it was looking for weakness into this time frame. And, you know, pretty much... is encouraging you that, you know, weakness in this time frame is an opportunity to buy. And we had, as you know, a big shakeout about a week ago, and we seem to retest the lows. Some of the buying the last day or two, and maybe into next week, could be categorized as an end-of-month window dressing by portfolio managers and so forth, which tends to happen at the end of the month, particularly if the market's going up. So for the most part, I'm pretty optimistic. Overall, I got a little more bearish on gold, you know, last week when we put out our report. It looked like it was getting a little toppy area, getting a little overdone. So we put on a couple hedges there, and surprisingly, silver held up a little bit better than gold here the last couple of days. So, you know, nothing goes straight up or nothing goes straight down, so we'll see where this plays out. I think over time, gold has the potential to go much higher. Of course, you know, we've been saying that for years, and if you have infinite patience, it paid off. In the meantime, things are resolved geopolitically. Then things could change quickly. Much of the rally in the precious metals, particularly gold, is related to, you know, Ukraine and the Mideast situation. So if that doesn't settle down, or if that turns to the worse, then gold will reverse and take out this little toppy formation that it formed here the last couple days ago. So we'll just see how it plays out. And that's just a trading comment. Long term, I guess it's sort of irrelevant. But we'll do over time that gold could have, you know, shakeouts of several hundred dollars and then go back up again. So I would suggest that if peace comes to Ukraine and the Mideast for whatever reason, and Trump is successful, so far he's running into some roadblocks with Zelensky and Putin. So, but if things do change, gold will come down, and we'll see how that all plays out. On the other hand, if things get worse and things accelerate, then it would be just the opposite. But going back to the stock market, you know, the market, you know, likes war. I mean, it's unfortunate, but whether we have an acceleration of war or peace, the stock market's going to do what it's going to do, and money's still going to flow. And I'm still optimistic about the markets. I don't think they're coming down big yet. You know, obviously we're going to have like a crash scenario at some point. More likely if it's going to come, it'd be next year, I believe, not this year. So I think the powers that be are going to ensure the market stays up. And, you know, we have a Fed Chairman Powell that Donald Trump's been critical of for the right reasons. Of course, I'm critical of about all the Fed chairmen and the Federal Reserve itself, which is not really discussed much because it's made so many mistakes over the years, and we don't have to outline those, that we could go over those at some point again. But I suppose the market nosedives, the Fed will come in and start, you know, lowering rates, which is a psychological plus, and then the money supply has been generally increasing overall, so I guess they could generate more, turn the printing press on and increase the money supply, and that would help the stock market as well. So it seems to me that there's, I guess the expression is, the Fed may have a put on the stock market, meaning it has downside protection. At some point, it's only going to go so far before they act. And some even claim that Donald Trump is a put to a certain existence, because if you have, you know, the market suddenly drops too much, you know, he may come out and say, well, we may not be as stringent on the tariff to China as we thought we were, or this or that may come out. So that's sort of a put option, so to speak. You know, if things get too bad, you know, commentary changes to help calm the markets. So there's, you know, a lot of stuff going, a lot of shenanigans going on. It's all form of market manipulation in one form or another. You know, I just think you got to stay. I think you have to stay reasonably optimistic for the near term. And you know, if we start taking out lows, you know, in that 4750, 4800 range in the S&P, and we suddenly break through the lows we saw here in the last couple of weeks, I assume it'd be triggered by some outside event, and we'd have to act accordingly. We'll just have to, you know, watch the tape as we always do. But my current feeling is, you know, you may have already seen the shakeout, the mid-year shakeout, and, you know, we'll, of course, there is that expression, sell may, go away. So, you know, maybe they rally into early May and sell off one more time and retest the lows. I guess we dream of all kind of scenarios here, but I'm more in the camp that, you know, a lot of the news is negative news has come out already, and the only, I guess, open possibility is the geopolitical issues. So that's pretty much it on that general market viewpoint.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovitz right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovitz. Mark, what's going on in the crude oil market?
I'm still somewhat of a bear. We've been playing the short side in the crude oil. We traded out of some of the short positions. We use these inverse ETFs for that, or the short, the ETF itself, USO. Our initial target was satisfied in the mid-50s. And, you know, barring some geopolitical event, which could happen at any time, and gold could, you know, spurt higher, the charts tell me that, you know, it's not overall done to the downside and might be a multi-month comment. So, you know, the next big target for me is the mid-40s. And, you know, that could be 6 months from now. It could be 2 weeks from now. You know, who knows? But the charts don't tell me that, you know, a super big bottom has come in here yet. So this is bullish. Lower crude oil is, that's less of a tax on consumers, gasoline is cheaper, companies that run all kinds of fuel, the airlines, for example, jet fuel, everybody benefits from lower crude oil prices. So if you're looking for, you know, another reason for a bull market in stocks, you would hope that crude oil nosedives and even goes lower than the 40s, even goes to the 20s and 30s, which I don't see happening, but you know, there's still a lot of demand for other reasons, but I still think it's a bullish event. So you can trade from it on the short side, or you can just watch it, but you should be rooting for a lower crude oil price.
What's going on the cryptocurrency front?
Came to life a little bit this last few days. I'm all over it. I mean, I'm in it. I'm in. And I don't know if this is the big surge. The Bitcoin chart is looking better. Some of the others are looking a tad better. And, you know, we have more of a longer term, but near term viewpoint here. You know, there's legislation that has to go through here in the U.S., you know, the Bitcoin reserve and the crypto reserve that Donald Trump's talking about. You know, there's some comments that I've been reading from those who are following the details of this more than I am in terms of timing. I mean, it could stretch into the summer of next year before we actually see all the legislation that we need passed. In other words, the playing field has to be leveled out. And, you know, we know, for example, that Ripple was in lawsuits with the Securities and Exchange Commission for several years. And from what we hear, most of the suits have been dropped. Of course, we have a new SEC commissioner now who's not anti-crypto, as Gary Gensler was, the former SEC chairman. But, you know, there's still, you know, question about the way they're trading, who can trade it, where it could trade, the rules regarding its usage and so forth. So this is all coming up, and it's going to take some time. But I think, you know, as long as Donald Trump's in there and these reserves are planned, and, you know, I think, you know, the trend is up, and you got to be holding a small position or adding on weakness. And Bitcoin itself, you know, is flirting with the high 70s, low 80s, and jumps up to the mid 90s. And, you know, it's still down from its 107,000 high. But, you know, there's every reason to believe it'll take that out and go to 150,000 or even dramatically higher levels. Keep in mind that they have HALF. They have the amount of Bitcoin every few years. There's less out there. And some predicting some huge, huge numbers, you know, going to hundreds of thousands of dollars in the years ahead, or maybe even higher. So we'll see if that all plays out. But I think world uncertainty, you know, look, for example, the U.S. dollar had a big shakeout here. You know, there's a lot of concern about the dollar, which was, by the way, bullish for gold, even though it doesn't always work that way. It worked out at least short term in the last couple of weeks. You know, the uncertainty about the dollar, I think, drives more interest into the crypto world. Because, you know, you're not dealing with a currency, you're dealing, you know, you're dealing with a digital form of, you know, digital currency. So we're not relying on the government policies, whether the U.S. is spending too much money, getting itself too much in debt or getting out of debt, who's running the show and who's pushing the digital buttons that print money. All reasons why Bitcoin came into existence and why it's gone from, you know, literally a $10 a coin up to 107,000 in the last 10 years. And the same reason you can argue for gold, you know, why gold has held its value, even though it's been volatile along the way. You know, this distrust of governments, distrust of currencies. And this is not going to end. You know, it's all political. You know, what Europe is doing and lowering rates, and the U.S. is not lowering rates when it should be. And the whole other argument comes out, I'm getting off a little bit of a tangent, is you have a stubborn Fed who is maintaining high rates, which is actually helping cause inflation. What they really need to do is bring down rates, and they need to, you know, stop fooling around with that money supply, because they keep pumping that money supply. That also, you know, leads to higher prices and inflation too. So, you know, it's government manipulation of money. And for that reason, you know, crypto has become more desirable. Gold's become more desirable. You know, my humble opinion, I mean, I've been writing about and saying this about for years, and I'm not unique in this at all. I mean, the Fed needs to be dissolved. We need a new system. And maybe the crypto world will help take the place of the Fed, which has, again, done a horrible job.
Mark, what's going on with copper?
That's a good question. A lot of the metals have come back. I'm glad you brought that up. For example, lithium, for example, has started to uptick, too, the last few days, where we trade... without mentioning a specific lithium stock, for example, we got long that on an uptick. Copper is upticked along with it as well. So it seems to be tracking. I guess you can just put one chart over another, and you track the stock market, you track copper, you can actually track uranium as well, and you put all the charts over each other, and they all sort of bottomed when we had this big sell-off in the stock market, you know, in the last 10 days. And they've all been recovering, because gold was going up before that, but copper, you know, lithium, uranium. So, and also some of these other small stocks you know, they're not necessarily uranium oriented, but, you know, they're into precious rare metals and, you know, stuff like that. That some of these uranium companies or energy companies are in uranium and also the rare earth situation. So those stocks start to uptick. So the whole sector. Copper, lithium, uranium, palladium, all they have been upticking here since the market lows, so they all seem to be in sync. So look higher to me the way they're trading.
Mark, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
There was not much in the geocosmic front here. There was a report on spaceweather.com about... some farmers and their tractors. And the question was, did they go crazy? So many farmers have been using GPS garden tractors to plant and tend their crops. But for some reason, they all veered off course, and they received a report of they call it dancing tractors on Easter Sunday. Apparently, it had all to do with GPS errors, and there was even though there was no geomagnetic storm, the one occurred on April 20th. So they're trying to figure out what happened here, whether there was something going on with GPS on the planet, whether it was particularly with farmers. So what, you know, was it a solar event that really wasn't detected, and so forth? Just interesting story on the news wires about. Of course, we've seen a lot of shortwave radio operators lose their signals when there's geomagnetic storms and stuff. So, you know, when we had the big sell-off, the big like mini crash in the stock market, you know, in the last couple of weeks, that was coincident with a high level of solar activity. So many sort of dismiss that and say, well, one could have anything to do with the other. But, you know, there was definitely a little overlap there when you looked at the chart. So we're not immune by what happens, you know, geocosmically. And what these farmers were experiencing, I just thought was an interesting read here, because you would think some geomagnetic storm was out there causing interference on GPS. And, you know, SpaceX, you know, they had an incident, and they reported one here recently too, some of their satellites, but they said they couldn't come up with an explanation, and they did not attribute it to you know, geo you know, cosmic or sun related event. So cosmic rays, something else going on out there, Jim. We're not immune. So, you know, we talk about a lot of crazy stuff on these interviews. You know, there's like 45 active volcanoes on the planet right now. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that sudden. In fact, there was just a nice juicy earthquake in California within the last week, 6.0 in Southern California. Didn't get much coverage. So all these things can affect markets. So it's interesting to observe, but I like correlating them, you know, look at the charts. Is the market down the same time you're getting a geocosmic event? Is there an overlap or not? But it tends to be more yes than no, but that's sort of the update of where we're at right now. So the only other thing to watch is, you know, coming into May, the old expression, sell May, go away. Is that going to affect the markets? Generally, it doesn't affect it very much. And as I mentioned at the top of the interview, we're running into the end of the month here, this week and early next, where money managers do what's known as window dressing. And sometimes if they are a little low on inventory in certain hot stocks, they add those to those portfolios, and that could help give the market a little boost. So it'll be interesting to see what happens after May 1st.
Also, Mark, I just saw a study that says the Earth's orbit is starting to wobble. Because we're taking out so much groundwater, we're depleting the mass of the Earth and putting that water into the atmosphere. So we're creating an unstable planetary mass.
That's really interesting stuff. I've also been fascinated, again, this is getting off on a tangent a little bit, about you know, the subterranean oceans that supposedly exist that were recently discovered and were speculated in the old Jules Verne book, Journey to the Center of the Earth. You know, so there's a lot of water under the surface that we don't see, which was something to think about, too.
Mark, always fun chatting with you.
Thanks for having me. Be back next week. Thank you.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.